Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and buckle your seatbelts. It's time for your weekly ride-along with the Bikes on Mics. This is Drive-By.
Marcus,
he is
Mike Forrest, and this is the Drive-By Wrestling Podcast. How the hell's it going, Mike?
Man, I hate my job, but whatever. Hey, Superhuman's doing a podcast now, so.
Oh, that's gotta be mind-blowing.
You know, we may want to jump on that early before he gets a full head and starts charging, like, out the ass for it. Like, I don't, honest to God, I'd pay $50 to have him on this show. I would, dude. I'd pay $50 to just be able to call and talk to him for 10 fucking minutes one day and record it and then send it to you and we can put it on the show. I really would pay $50 for that. I'd cash out that fucking retard $50 in a heartbeat. Well, guess who's not getting Superhuman on the show now? Why won't you be on the show? Cause you called me a retard.
Woo woo.
Woo woo. Well, motherfucker, I'm pretty sure you're fucking retarded, so. But anyway, yeah, so I'm gonna send him a message on Twitter. I'm gonna send him a message right now. Maybe he responds.
Hey, I am totally 100% behind all of
maybe this. He responds while we're recording this.
So, it's been a while, Mike, but let's get in that DeLorean, spin the sumbitch round, and talk about last week on Drive-By.
What did I just say?
This sucker's electrical, but I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts? What the hell is a gigawatt?
Last week on Drive-By, Mike, we went over the G-Code Nutrition top 50 wrestlers of all time, and we kind of broke the list down. We took a look at it, moved some names around, and then we kind of went over our honest, legit, like, for the business top 10 and then our personal top 10s, and I made a huge mistake, Mike.
Yeah, you did, bud.
Listening back, I realized, on my personal, anyway, I left out one of my absolute favorites in Razor Ramon. What the hell was I thinking? In my defense, if for those of you who don't know, I record while driving, so I don't have stuff written to refer to. I didn't even make a list on paper to go off of because I knew I was driving. So I was like, I'll do this all from my head. And, you know, I made an omission. Razor Ramon is in my top 10. So now it's a coin flip of who do we kick out, Mike? Bret Hart or Undertaker? Because someone's got to go. Sorry. Ah, man. I love you, Bret. And you're in one of my favorite matches of all time. My honestly favorite match of all time. That being said, I probably ended up being a bigger Taker fan than Bret Hart fan in the end. So see you later, dude. Sorry. Razor, you're in.
Where are you putting Razor at on this list?
I'm not gonna rearrange top 10 because, Mike, quite frankly, I can't remember exactly how I had it, but I know I had Taker and Bret towards like the 8, 9, 10 spot, so he's just in there somewhere.
Fair. Sorry, I'm typing a message to Superhuman right now.
That's totally understandable. Mike, you have anything from last week that you wanted to correct?
Nah.
All right. This has been Last Week on Drive-By.
So take it and check yourself before you wreck yourself. So take it and check yourself before you wreck yourself. Come on and check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Okay, Mike. It's been a decent week in pro wrestling, leading to Labor Day weekend, where, I mean, is there anything going on this weekend, Mike?
I mean, I know we're getting into like a joke. Oh, is something going on? I don't know. But yeah, dude, I got all kinds of stuff going on Saturday, man.
Well, Ohio State football kicks
dude,
off.
Dude, so it's okay.
That.
I got Ohio State football. I got, obviously, we're going to talk about All Out here in a little bit. That's what we were getting at. That, and dude, I'm going to the Nerds of the Galaxy meetup, man.
Oh, you are going? Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to the Nerds of the Galaxy meet and greet too.
Make
so
sure
it's
you
like it's like a massively like busy day for me. And like the meet and greet's like 2 hours away from me. So
nice.
It's like a busy day. I'm guessing All Out probably gets watched like way after the fact. So yeah.
Yeah, and there's NXT UK. So we've got two big wrestling shows. I will watch at least one of them. The other one, it depends on what's available, because I'm not paying $50, Mike. I haven't crossed that threshold yet. They haven't given me enough reasons to plop down $50.
So here's something I thought about on my drive home from work that I wanted to bring up. This seems like the best time to do it. Mention this $50. So we, between the two of us, we knew a lot of people. We knew a lot of people that watched the show, I'd say, right?
Right.
How many of the people that we know paid for it?
That I know, none.
Yeah, no, I don't know a single person that paid for it. Not a single one.
Not one.
That's just
not
a.
One.
That's just something I thought about earlier. Just an interesting little tidbit. I would bet that like this show was watched way more. Like I mean, like obviously any kind of pay-per-view thing is bought or is like watched more than it's paid for. But I feel like the numbers on this would be real skewed.
Yeah, I would think so as well. Especially like the first one. Double or nothing, because everyone was curious, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And after that, you're going to get some people who are willing to pay for it, and then you're going to have some that are even, you know, going the other way and more willing to steal it than pay for it. So, I don't know. It's a discussion for sure. But, I mean, you have people who steal the WWE pay-per-views, and it's $10 a month, so you're clearly going to have people steal $50 ones.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, I think that might be the reality of this company for a while, is that you're gonna get pirated like a motherfucker. Look, you can't market to an internet crowd.
And not expect that.
And not expect a significant amount of piracy. It's honestly,
yep.
I would honestly like to go into their Facebook comments and see how many people, no one would be honest with you. Like, honest to God, if you probably asked me about it on some other format, depending on my mood, I'd maybe tell you I paid for it. you know, depending on the format and the crowd, fuck, I might. But, I think that that's going to be a problem moving forward.
Yeah,
I really do.
I think so, too. I agree with that. I had a, snafu, Mike. I've been a network subscriber for WWE since day one. And I went to watch it the other night, and I was unsubscribed. Here, I had a debit card issue. I actually had my number stolen, to be quite honest with you, and had to change that number and didn't realize I didn't go into my account and change it. And my billing cycle hit, and they unsubscribed me, Mike.
But your account's still active, man.
I know. I got the sign up for a free month, and then as soon as I tried it, I said, nope, you're not a new person. Screw
no,
you.
Your account's
like,
active. You're good. You're good. You still paid. You're
I
good.
Did,
Don't
it.
Worry about
it.
That's happened
it
to me.
All.
That's happened to me a couple times where I've got like new debit cards and forgot to change the shit over.
I got it all fixed. It's on a credit card now. Shouldn't be an issue. Anyway, I will probably watch the takeover probably Saturday evening, unless I can find a good stream for All Out. Not gonna lie, because I'm not paying for it. But I thought instead of doing a full prediction show, because one, I barely watch NXT UK. but I love it. I like it when I watch it. I just don't have the damn time, Mike. And I also find it hard to do a prediction show for AEW right now because there's just... they can say what they want. There's no storylines, Mike.
There's not. There are, but they're not.
For the most part, it's matches for matches. So I thought we'd talk about maybe the two biggest matches on each card. So we'll start with NXT UK. The UK title, the NXT UK title, their champion, Walter, against former champion, Tyler Bate. Who you got, Mike?
Walter.
Yeah, I don't think they're taking a strap off of him. I think he's going to hold that thing for a while.
Tyler Bate needs
a beast.
Yeah, I like Tyler Bate, but he needs work.
Yeah, I agree. I like him, too. He's young. He's still got time to develop. I don't think you take that title off of Pete Dunne and give it to Walter for Tyler Bate to win it back. That's no offense to Tyler Bate. I just don't agree with it. On the women's side, we have the women's UK title, our champion, Toni Storm, against Kaylee Ray. I'm not going to lie. I have no idea who this chick is. The name sounds super familiar. The face is kind of familiar. But I don't want to say invested. That's not the right word. I'm not quite up to par with what she's done. So I'm just going to say Toni Storm because I like Toni Storm. And again, she's kind of the face of the brand. I don't see that changing at this point in time.
I'm everything you just said.
All right, let's go over to the other show. I'm sure that the NXT show will be good. It's rare that you see a bad NXT show, even in the UK version. And Cesaro is supposed to be there, so that's something special.
Interesting.
Yes. All Out, Mike. Our two big matches. We'll start with the Cody match. So you have Cody Rhodes versus Ty Dillinger, the Perfect 10. I'm refusing to call him the other name. Man, this is probably one of the best built matches they have, at least storyline wise, because of an awkward chair shot to the head. I mean, if you want to build a star out of Sean Spears, Ty Dillinger, he has to win, right?
I 100% think he's going to win this match.
I mean, if he just loses to Cody Rhodes, then he's just Ty Dillinger, the jobber from WWE.
No, I would imagine they draw this out till October.
Yeah, this could be a good feud going into the television show.
Mm-hmm. He's probably going to win this match. What do they have slated between now and October? Nothing. Nothing.
As far as I know, nothing.
So he's going to win this match, and that's going to be the storyline heading into October when the show starts.
I think that's a smart move.
Yeah, and he's going to come in with a win over Cody looking strong.
Yeah, he has to. He has to. And like I said, this will be a test. We'll see if they make the mistake or not. Because if Cody wins, it's a mistake. I'm sorry. On the others, the other big match, I guess I should say, the AEW Championship match. We have Hangman Page against Chris Jericho to crown the first ever AEW Heavyweight Champion. Mike, who you got?
We're talking about mistakes. I think at this point, it would be a real mistake to give this belt to Hangman Page.
I 100% agree. I want to see what your reasoning is, because I have reasoning.
Well,
I think it would line up with yours, but you go first.
Okay, so one, I'm a big Hangman Page fan. I'm a big Hangman Page fan. But they haven't put enough work into him to be the babyface top champ guy. Whatever you want that position to be called, they haven't put enough work into him. literally no one is going to turn on the TV in October to see Hangman Page as champion. I'm not saying that he couldn't down the road, but like, and I get it, wanting to make your buddy like a top guy like you are, because like, Kenny Omega could win this belt, okay. Cody Rhodes wins this belt, okay. And I get it, you want your buddy to be on your level, but putting the title on him is not going to put him on that level. Putting the WWE title on him, or the IWGP title on him, would put him on that level. But this is a belt with no history that means nothing.
There we go.
It's not going to make him. But you know what could happen? Is Chris Jericho, one of the all-time greatest pro wrestlers in the history of the sport, he could win it, and instead of needing the belt to make the guy, and the belt has no, like, bona fides lineage to make the guy, instead, you could have Chris Jericho win the belt and make the fucking belt. You could have the guy make the belt, which is what you desperately fucking need. You need this belt to get made, and Chris Jericho will make this belt. And on top of that, people will turn in on Tuesday night, or Wednesday night, I mean, to see Chris Jericho as the AEW champion.
Because they know who Chris Jericho is. And you just literally spot on hit pretty much all my thoughts on it. I want to expand just a little bit to kind of bring everybody up to speed, but you're right. No one knows, I don't want to say no one, but when you're expanding an audience and trying to gain an audience and build a fan base, you put that title on someone that has name recognition, and Hangman Page as much as the next guy.
You just don't put it on the eighth most popular guy in your roster.
Right. Nobody knows who he is outside of the in crowd, if that makes sense. But most wrestling fans, let me say this, all wrestling fans and a ton of casual fans know who the hell Chris Jericho is.
Mm-hmm.
When you also go on the lineage side of this, this belt at this current time has as much lineage as the fantasy football belt that you make for your buddies when you play football.
That actually has more lineage.
Yeah. What I'm saying, and I know that sounds harsh, but I know you agree because you said it earlier. This is essentially a title created by a bunch of friends for their wrestling promotion. Now, sure, you could put it on Hangman, and it would mean absolutely nothing. You put it on the first ever undisputed WWE World Heavyweight Champion, right off the bat, you've already got some credibility to it. I would actually go a step further, and I don't think Hangman would be the next guy. I think the next guy should be a Cody or a Kenny. Because it, and you can flip-flop those and keep it on those three guys, you know, for the first 6 months to a year.
I think
Hangman
you could
build a little more credibility on his own.
I think you could add Moxley.
In that title picture.
I think
yes,
you could add
definitely
Moxley.
Put Moxley in there. He's a former WWE champion.
You've got four guys right there. I would even fuck, man.
Honestly, say Moxley should be above those two.
Yeah, I'd even hesitantly put Pac in there as a fifth.
Yep.
You could really like build around those five guys and use Hangman to feud with them until he's to the level you want him at.
Yep, absolutely. Now, the big question is, do we do this? Do they do this?
Yeah, I think they do, honestly. I really do.
I think they will too. I will say this. It'll be telling if they don't, won't it?
Yeah, it really will. It really will, because right now they've done a good job of not being like, hey, look, it's like us and our buddies playing wrestling. It's been like legit shit so far, right? But like,
yeah, for the most part.
You can't fuck up and show this kind of favoritism or something without like him putting in the work, you know?
Yep. It's the same thing we just said about Sean has to be Cody. Because if Cody just wins, then it just is like, well, the Booker's favoring himself. You know what I mean? So we'll see. I think this pay-per-view, this special, whatever you want to call it, will tell a lot about the future of this company. And I think there's still a lot of stuff up in the air. Something that I definitely want to touch on before we move on is Moxley being legit all out. He has a staph infection, cannot compete, has to have surgery to remove a bursa sac. Man, doesn't it seem like every time this company, I mean, I know it's technically only been twice, but every time they have a big show where they need to make a big impression and they have a big match lined up, one of those stars is just gone. Pac hit the first one at Double or Nothing, and now he's coming in, he's filling in, he's taking Mox's spot. It's going to be Pac versus Omega, which should still be a good match, but man, you got to think. You have to think. Now, I know the rumor is that once TV starts, that they'd be wrapping up a lot of these guys doing things outside of the company. But when you add the fact that it's still slated that Mox is going to be working New Japan as well, they also have this deal with the Joshi wrestlers, the females, and with the Oriental, the Chinese group. I can't think of who they are.
OWE.
Yeah. This is one of the things that worries me, because they're using this to fill their roster out, which I totally get. But when you got your own guys getting injured on other companies' programming, other companies' shows, you got part of your roster that's not 100% committed to your brand because they're not signed exclusively to you. It could put you in a really bad spot in situations you don't plan on being in just because of, you know, shit happens. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, man.
So, do you think that, I mean, this is not something that I foresee them being able to sustain. I think they need to lock people down. They need to get exclusivity. You know, people talk shit on WWE and Vince McMahon because they're so exclusive with their stars. This is why, people. Because when you're building to something for 2 months, 3 months, even a month, and then a week before something like this happens, well, now you're fucked. You know?
This is not great news.
No.
Moxley
was the hottest thing coming out of Double or Nothing.
Man.
And is not going to be on this show.
No, he's, you know, arguably, depending on how you look at it, like their second biggest star. We're going to get a better in-ring match. I bet these two...
Yeah, they should put on a stellar
tear
match.
Tear the house
Tokyo,
down.
Like an 8-star match.
Oh, dude, if it was in the Tokyo Dome, it would be crazy. but this is going to be a fantastic match, I think, honestly. I'm probably more excited to see this as a match... But I'm overall less excited because I wanted to see this story progress. And I ain't gonna lie, man, I got a little bit of this Jon Moxley fever. I ain't gonna lie, man. I liked Dean Ambrose at first. And then, like, I hated Dean Ambrose. And now it's the Dean Ambrose from the original Shield that I liked. And I'm like... Oh, shit, this dude's really good at his job again. I forgot. And it's crazy. It's like when a band you like, puts out a really good first album, and you're like, fuck, man, I think I'm going to be down with these guys forever. And then their next three albums are awful. And then your buddy's like, yo, dude, these dudes just put out a fifth album, and it's the shit. And you're like, nah, man, nah. No, I'm sorry. It might be good. It might be okay. But it's not the shit. And, like, you listen to a couple songs and you're like, I mean, these songs ain't bad, but, like, whatever. And then, like, you listen to the whole album and you're like, oh, fuck. Oh, man. These dudes, man. I forgot these guys can make really good music when they want to. And it's like, the dude's making really good music again, man, and I can't ignore it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
And also, you know what it is. It's the New Japan thing. You know I can't not go fucking stupid over some, like, New Japan shit.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of New Japan, I know it's not on the lineup, but, like, Shibata is listed.
Yeah.
Shibata is now listed on the active roster page. Just saying, guys, Shibata's now listed on the active roster page. It's happening. I'm not saying it's happening, but it's fucking happening. Him versus Kenta at Wrestle Kingdom. I'm calling it now.
To close this part of the conversation, Mike, I understand what you're saying about Mox. I was real curious because I'm curious to see what it looks like in an American wrestling ring. I know that sounds silly, but, you know, New Japan is a whole different style, a whole different set of guys to work with. And I know Omega's a New Japan guy, but he's, you know, also clearly going to be influenced by who he's working with. And I don't know. It would have been interesting to see how Mox wrestles a guy like Omega stateside in an American promotion. And we're not going to see that, at least for the time being. So I like what Mox is doing. I'm not as hyped about him as you are, but I understand why you are. And I'm way more of a fan of him as this character than his latest run as Dean Ambrose. But I also think, the more I think about it, Mike, the more I think that was more him being apathetic to being a part of WWE and just being burnt out on wrestling in general than it was everything he talked about on that podcast. I'm really starting to feel that way. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, let's talk about the week in WWE television, some of the things that went down. Hang tight. We will be right back.
I hate this fucking storyline so much, man.
I'm enjoying it.
I know you're enjoying it, and I'm happy for you, bud. I really am. Although there is that argument to be made that, like, you enjoy a lot of what they do. Mostly everything.
Not mostly everything. I do enjoy a lot. I'm not, like...
Dude,
I'm not crazy about this part of it, but...
I hate this whole thing. And here's the thing, I've been trying, man. Every week I come on here and I'm like, I fucking hate it, but I'm going to keep trying, right? And every week I'm like, maybe this is going to be the week where they're going to turn it around, and I'm going to, like... Because, you know, I frequently say, don't, man, they're on chapter one. Let them get to chapter seven or eight, right?
Yeah.
So we're on, like, chapter four or five now. And I'm just like...
Yeah.
And I'm like, and every week I'm like, this is going to be the chapter where they hook me. And every week I hate it more than the week before. and I don't think it's going to get turned around. Now, are these two guys going to have a decent match, Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns? After Roman Reigns has to take out Rowan, that'll be, and then eventually gets to Daniel Bryan. Are they going to have a good match? Sure, fuck yeah, man. Their last match they had at that throwaway pay-per-view where they tried to make us like Roman Reigns better than Daniel Bryan, and they failed miserably. They're like, no, Roman will beat Daniel, and then they'll be happy that he's going to WrestleMania instead of Daniel. And we're like, That's no. not how, no. I don't. I think you're. You should have not even put them in the ring together, and we would have been more happy. Anyway, they're gonna have a good match. Roman's way more like experienced at this point. It's gonna be yep. good shit. But I fucking hate it. I fucking hate it so much, man.
I'm still. I mean, we got introduced to the lookalike last week, which I popped for. I actually heard more positive than negative about that.
Not here.
We had, yeah, I know. We have Rowan now denying with the new video footage. We still have Rowan denying it, saying that that's not him. I guess with the lookalike running around. I don't know where they're going. I mean, clearly with Roman spearing Daniel Bryan, he assumes this is all Daniel Bryan's doing, which, I mean, is, I think, a pretty safe assumption at this point. It's interesting. I don't love it. I still am interested to see how the story plays out, but this was a weird turn for me as well. I don't hate it. I just don't love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I got you.
And there's definitely, there's still places they could go to make it interesting and pull me back into it a little bit. I'm just afraid they're not going to. So let's just move on from that, Mike.
And yeah, let's do it.
Let's talk about some of the good stuff. Man, these King of the Ring matches have been pretty awesome, haven't they?
They really have. They've really been really, really good. I mean, like, for just TV matches? They have been outstanding. Hey, what the shit was that thing that Mustafa Ali did the other day?
The DDT thing?
Yes. What was that?
That was fantastic, whatever it was. It looked great. I've seen the GIF going around online all over the place. It was super. I don't know. I was going to say it was super cool, but I don't even know what to call it. It was a really awesome move in between the ropes, and I'm down to see that a couple more times.
I watched it like 4 or 5 times.
Hit keep rewinding and rewatching. It was incredible. That's what happens when you have two phenomenal workers, in-ring workers, go against each other on a big stage. And, I mean, I've heard, see, this is where you run into problems, Mike, because I've heard people say, oh, they built Buddy Murphy just to bury him to Ali, where at the same time, if Buddy Murphy had beaten Ali, people would be like, oh, I thought Ali was supposed to be getting a push, and now there's this. So you can't win, guys. You can't win. I don't think this hurts Buddy Murphy at all. I think they established him possibly as a baby face with the handshake afterwards. I don't know if you would agree or disagree with that.
Yeah, I think they're baby face. Well, the dude has got the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
And I get it. They wanted to go heel because he's a pretty decent heel, right? But his moveset and everything, his fucking clothing, everything about him screams baby face. That crowd, halfway through that match, he had him. It's every match. He's won them over simply by just being the shit in the ring.
Which is pretty amazing.
Yes. And they had to roll with it, I'm assuming. I'm assuming they were just like, we have to roll with it. This dude's so fucking over right now.
Yep. So on the SmackDown side, we have Ali moving on over Buddy Murphy. We have Gable moving on over Shelton Benjamin. And on the Raw side, we have Baron Corbin beating The Miz to move on. And we have Ricochet beating Drew McIntyre. Let me throw that one at you. This is another like lose-lose situation for the company because, Ricochet shouldn't beat Drew McIntyre because of the size difference and because we need to push Drew, and then at the same time, oh, look at Drew McIntyre just out there burying little Ricochet. You know what I mean? So you're in a lose-lose situation. But that being said, I feel like either there's one of two things going on here, Mike. either there's some big stuff planned for Drew, and that's why he's losing right now, because we do see that in WWE booking sometimes. I think you would agree. Or this guy's just been placed on a certain part of the car that he's never going to get out of.
This dude might be placed in a certain part of a card he's never going to get out of.
I don't want to write that part of the story yet, Mike.
No, he's got a long time. Got a long time left. And he's not there yet. He's not Dolph Ziggler yet.
No, and I really thought, and you can probably go back and listen, guys, I really thought that the pairing with Shane McMahon would be a thing for him that would, even though he was kind of the lackey, I thought it would really do something for him, and I thought there would be a story there. I was actually semi-hoping for a Drew-Shane feud after Shane was done with everyone else, turning Drew babyface. Not that I need him to be a babyface, I just thought it would be a good story. They've kind of separated that, so I don't see that happening. I just hope that this just means that he's in line for something else, something bigger. You know, I still wonder where we go with the whole Fox USA move coming here in a few weeks, if we don't have a realignment of these rosters. And I'm not saying that that's what's going to, you know, help put Drew over, is putting him on SmackDown and changing things up for him, because who knows, man. But, you know, I'm just saying I don't want to write that part of the story yet, and I hope that's not where we're going. I hope it's more of a, we're going to give him some losses so he can come back and have something majorly impressive happen for his career.
I think they should make him a transgender character.
You don't really think that?
Yeah, man. Let's just further fucking ruin this dude. Let's get 3MB back together.
Oh, that's the worst thing ever.
Hey. 3MB was a more successful vehicle for creating champions than the Wyatt family was.
This is a valid point you make.
Just saying.
This is a valid point. There were two... never mind. I don't even want to go there.
What the fuck ever happened to Jinder Mahal, man? I mean, not that... Oh, okay, really? I was like, not that I'm complaining he's not on TV, because, like, he's the worst. He's just the worst.
News came out back-to-back. The first day the news came out that he had re-signed a 5-year deal.
Oh!
And then
that was a gut punch.
Yeah. Then the next day it came out that he was having surgery and would be out for probably 6 to 8 months, I believe.
Oh, man. 5 more years of this. Oh.
Yep.
Oh. Yep.
Hey, they're locking down those stars so they don't go to AEW.
Oh, my God. I hope I wreck my car and die right now.
No, you don't.
I'm not even driving.
King of the Ring, Mike. Right now, it's, you know, down to Corbin, Ricochet, Ali, and Gable. Who do you see? I think Ali is going to obviously get the SmackDown side of this.
Oh, it's going to be, it's Ali versus Ricochet. Corbin. It's Ali versus Ricochet, and Ricochet is going to be King Ricochet again. I've said this since the beginning, Bob.
I like it. I definitely like it. So you don't think, see, I think, for one.
I thought Kevin Owens originally, not going to lie. I thought he was going to be the SmackDown side, and then you convinced me. You were like, no, that's dumb. He's going to lose.
Yeah, because of Shane, clearly. I think that, yeah, I'd love to see Ricochet. I just think there's always that Baron Corbin. Here's the thing. I also kind of think they showed their hand with Corbin sitting on that throne. I think that was we'll give you a visual of what it might look like, but that's not going to happen. You know what I mean?
I just don't think they do it, man. I think we haven't had this thing in quite some time, right? And the last dude to win it was a heel. Yeah. And then it was like a couple years before like that even that they had one. And that was a heel. And I think maybe you just need to see what this can do for a face. Like, this seems to be like one of the first ones in a while that, I mean, like, we haven't done it in a while, but they seem to be treating it with some kind of dignity, I guess.
Yeah, and I'd actually say this is the first, like, getting past, like, that first, those first couple of matches, you kind of looked at the bracket, and you're like, man, like, anyone could win this. Like, when you look at it, for the most part, every guy in it looked like they would be a, you know, a pretty good representation of this.
Right, and it wasn't people like R-Truth.
Right,
so
yeah,
I think maybe it's time to see what this can do for, I mean, it's been a while since they put it on a face, like, given, like, the King of Ring to a face, so let's see what happens.
Yeah, and let's just say this, no offense to Chad Gable, because he's tremendous in the ring, I just think, storyline-wise, he's not where Ali, Ricochet, or Corbin is. So, if it really comes down to one of those three, I'm really good with any of them being King of the Ring.
I would like Baron Corbin to win at least of all. Not because, like, you know, I'm a Baron Corbin hater. I've been a Baron Corbin fan since day one in NXT. We talk about it often on here that we like Baron Corbin.
Yep.
The fact that y'all fucking hate him so much means he is outstanding at his job.
Yep.
Is it a bit much sometimes with him? Like, he's like all up in your face about it, like a super gay dude is. You know what I mean? Sometimes, and like sometimes it's a bit much, and that's really only when it's like the company thrusts it on you. And so it's,
no, I like it.
When it's, I get it, like, there was a period of time where he was getting a little bit more screen time than his station deserved, so I get that, but I think the dude is an effective, like, mid-card, lower, main event heel.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And he's the tallest guy on the roster, did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's true. I just read that the other day.
He completely embraces it, and I love that he embraces it. And like I said, seeing the dude live, like, I had already kind of liked him, but then seeing the way he does interact with the crowd in person, dude's a top-level heel right now in this business. And he's doing good things. He'd be real interesting to see what he does with this, you know, with a win like this, with the King of the Ring moniker attached to his name, but I do think it's probably going to be Ricochet, so I'll give, we'll see where that shakes out. Overall, we'll close this up, Mike. Overall, WWE TV still strong. In my opinion, this is probably one of the weaker weeks in most recent times, but as I say, as you say, as we discuss, 52 weeks a year, two different shows on the main brand, you're not going to hit home runs every single time. You're just not. And if you're expecting that as a fan, then you're going to be disappointed a lot.
Hey, I still hate the 24/7 title, but
Rob Stone, former 24/7 champion.
But Elias is the 24/7 champion.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, but he won it, right?
Yeah.
So, and Charlotte is a 10-time champion, right? So, right, if you go back to our beginning of the year predictions, two of mine now. Two. One, Charlotte becomes a double-digit champion. Two, the Drifter holds gold. Two of them.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Hang tight, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk rumors.
Back to the show.
All right, Mike, I wanted to wrap the show. First of all, I guess let me say this. If you're not in the spoilers, I mean, I'm not in the spoilers, but some of this shit's just so unavoidable. It's kind of annoying.
Uncle Ben comes back to life in the end credits scene. It shows Uncle Ben alive in the end credits scene of Spider-Man. Spoilers, by the way.
Spoilers. But so if you've been able to avoid, if you haven't heard the recent one about the Fiend, then just shut the show off right now. All right, 3, 2, 1. Here's your break. There you go. Okay, Mike. So the arena that is hosting Hell in a Cell, I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head right now.
The Sun Wilco Arena.
Yes, there you go. They sent out a tweet basically promoting The Fiend versus either Seth Rollins or Braun Strowman in Hell in a Cell. Now, immediate speculation, well, there we go. The Fiend's already getting a Universal title shot. And, you know, because we're wrestling fans, everyone's mad. It's too soon. We can't do this, blah, blah, blah. But it didn't actually say for a title. It just said versus Seth or Braun. So I don't know where I guess the title talk just came from people saying, well, you know, one of these guys is going to be Universal Champ. So I get it. But that's not what it said. That being said, Mike, I thought it would be interesting because I have thoughts on this, and I know we don't love fantasy booking here, even though we do. Like, sometimes, as we've stated, like, you can fantasy book and then it ruins what actually happens because what you create in your mind or what you hear someone else create, you fall in love with, and then that doesn't happen. So then no matter what they do, you hate it, and that's not fair either, right?
No, it's not, unfortunately.
But let's break our rules, because this comes into my mind, and it's something that I've talked about since The Fiend since before we knew what The Fiend was actually going to look like in a ring. I had kind of a theory on maybe not a reformation of the family, but a way that maybe Bray could build his legion and build a following back up as The Fiend, and this could be it, man. What if, let me throw this out there, what if at Clash of Champions we have Braun Strowman versus Seth Rollins for the Universal title, which we didn't even talk about, and I actually really like the dynamic of they're going to have a tag match together, then they're going to have this Universal match later. I like that. It's different. Maybe it'll be a discussion for next week's show, see how the story develops. Anyway, we have this title, Universal title match at Clash of Champions, Mike. We have currently no advertised match for The Fiend, which I also like. And we're doing this Universal title match, and then maybe, just maybe, during the match, you know, midway through, whatever, The Fiend makes his appearance, and he destroys, and I mean destroys, Braun Strowman. And then the lights go out, and they're both gone.
Go ahead.
And then we finally, you know, we can either see, I would rather, I don't think it's time to take this title off of Seth when we just had him beat Brock, correct?
Yeah, no. You don't want that to happen. No. You're not going to. Look, too much work has been put into Seth.
Right. And you don't necessarily want to give Braun a loss to Seth this soon, right? I mean, we're trying to rebuild Braun. So,
no.
This is actually, possibly, the most pro wrestling, most perfect way to get both of these guys, you know, the main event. Well, I mean, Seth is a champ, but, like, give Braun that main event rub. Let him be handling Seth, because Seth is going to be probably playing the face of that underdog babyface anyway. And then let The Fiend come out, take care of Braun. And maybe actually let me rephrase that. I jumped the gun a little bit here. let him beat up Braun, but not take him. I'm sorry. I just messed my own booking up. So he leaves Braun laying at Clash of Champions. Maybe even Seth has to take the sneaky pin, or maybe it's just a no contest, whatever the case may be. But now Braun is pissed and is no longer focused on the Universal title. Now wants to hurt Bray Wyatt, wants to hurt The Fiend. And now we get a Hell in a Cell match with Braun Strowman and The Fiend. And this is where The Fiend would clearly go over and then take Braun. And now The Fiend is building his army, Mike. The Fiend is coming back to collect. Maybe The Fiend even introduces a reborn Luke Harper into this situation to help him with the Monster Among Men. Not that he should need the help, but you get what I'm saying. Just another wrinkle to the story. And maybe, this is a stretch, Mike, maybe The Fiend has gotten into the mind of Eric Rowan, and that's why he's attacking Roman Reigns. I'm just saying it's a possibility. But when you just cut it back to the basic point of what I'm going for here, man, this could be a really fun story, and there doesn't have to be a title involved right now.
I'd like to see these two, like, wrestle, but not yet, man. Braun Strowman doesn't need this loss. Fiend doesn't need this loss.
I'm sure it'll be a compelling story,
but I don't want either one. Like, we're just getting Braun back to a good level. And he's honestly so... I don't know.
You don't want The Fiend to lose.
No.
That's really the only one that matters here, because Braun lose... If The Fiend keeps winning... I mean, I know he's only got one win, but he's been taking out legends. I think that if The Fiend keeps winning, then Braun losing to him doesn't hurt anything. Especially if they do it to, like, align him with Bray, and then Braun's, a bigger monster than he already is. If you add to the fact, man, I'm going to say this. I don't know I think it's September 9th. I could be wrong on the date. Whenever they're at Madison Square Garden and Stone Cold's going to be there, I want The Fiend to attack Stone Cold so bad.
No, that won't happen.
He's been doing this legend thing.
Not Stone Cold.
You don't think that'll happen?
Nah, man, not Stone Cold. Nope.
Do you think they wouldn't ask, or you think Austin wouldn't do it?
I just don't think that... Steve Austin... should never be put in a situation where he's on the downside. That's just straight up. Like, he's the only guy. There's no guy I think is on this level other than Steve Austin. Steve Austin should never, ever, ever, anyone, in any circumstance, should get the better of Steve Austin. Ever.
I understand what you're saying, but... this is one situation where I kind of disagree with you.
It's the essence of the character.
I get it, but Stone Cold's the number one in my opinion. We talked about that last week. He's number one on my list. I'd be totally okay with it. I would love to see it, actually, just because. Now there's a caveat to this, Mike. If it were to happen, then The Fiend has to remain one of the strongest characters created by this company, right?
Yeah, you can't fuck this up.
Yeah, if he were to take out Stone Cold, then he has to be the best booked, strongest booked creation / character / wrestler in this company for the foreseeable future.
This is like Brock beating Taker. You got to be all in. You got to be all in with it.
I agree.
You got to be all in.
And to their credit, they did that well. He beat Taker, and he was unstoppable. And still, you still question, is Brock really going to lose? So, I mean, I think they handled that very well. I think if they have Bray Wyatt as The Fiend take out Stone Cold, then they have to book him They have to Brock book him, right?
That, yes.
And I would be totally good with that. I think it could be a huge dynamic, a huge addition to his character. I don't know, man. What do you think? Hey, let me round it out with this, Mike. What do you think about arenas tweeting shit like this out? Because it drives me up a wall.
Stay in your fucking lane.
Like, I'm sure they get advertising for this stuff. Clearly, like, they know what maybe the matches are, but man, I think as a company, WWE should probably ranch down, like, crank down on what they're, I don't know if they should just put it as like, look, here's what they are, but you can't say this or this. You know what I mean? You could say featuring, but you can't say, well, it's going to be this match. You know what I mean? Like, with the way that they worded it, I almost feel like they got told, hey, you can say this and this, and they just try to squirt, you know, skirt around it to get as much pop as they could with it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, that's obviously what they did.
I don't know, man. Kayfabe is so dead in our society. Social media has completely messed it up. And it sucks. It's the world we live in. There's no way to fix it. I mean, I don't think there is. If there is, I hope someone figures it out and puts it into action. Mike, do you have anything else you want to say to these fine, beautiful people?
Yeah, I got a couple things. Rhea Ripley.
Oh boy.
Rhea Ripley came out on NXT and
yep.
Challenged Shayna Baszler. So I think we got an actual contender here, people.
Yep. And, and what did I say a few weeks ago? What did I say when Undisputed Era didn't come out draped in gold? And I said, it's still going to happen. I think it's just going to happen over time. And, who was right? Well, almost right. We're getting there. Street Profits no longer the tag team champs of NXT because it's back on Undisputed Era, baby.
We're getting there. Roddy Strong, do your part.
He will.
Second thing. Let's do it a second week in a row, man. You gotta kill one, you gotta fuck one, you gotta marry one. Terry Bollea, Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Or classic Hulk Hogan.
Oh, well, this one's easy.
Yeah, it fucking is, isn't it?
You're gonna kill Terry Bollea.
Fuck yeah, you just get rid of Terry Bollea is a terrible human being.
You're gonna fuck Hollywood.
Fuck it, eh?
And you're gonna marry Hulkamania.
Yeah,
baby.
Man, you want Hulkamania running wild for the rest of your life, bro. That ain't a one-night stand.
No, sirree. That one, I could stomach that one.
And Hollywood Hulk Hogan, man, like, I bet for a one-night stand, that ain't bad, man. Like, he looks like Hollywood Hulk Hogan, I bet, eats ass. So,
you're gonna have that beard dial.
Yeah,
over.
Man, he's gonna whip you with that belt. The ref is not gonna call a DQ, even though he did it right in front of him.
You're gonna ask for the finger poke of doom?
Yeah, wait till he starts hulking up. Gives you that point. By the way, if you have not listened to Chris Jericho's, I know you have, I'll just say it's for the people out there in the world. If you've not listened to Steve Austin's podcast with Hulk Hogan, it's a bunch of hooey and nonsense like most of his interviews are, but
I actually enjoyed it.
I did too. For what it was, he didn't suck his own cock so much. And he did things like what I'm about to say. There's like 10 minutes in there where he explains the psychology of hulking up and how it was a trial and error to get the psychology and the pattern down right over like a 2-year period of knowing like how many times to like when to let the hand come up. For like when to start hulking up, how many punches to let them get in before you say you like he breaks down the psychology of it, and you know, man, the dude knows his shit, right? Like,
well, you know, I think Hulk sometimes gets a bad rap with modern wrestling fans for not quote unquote knowing how to wrestle, and this dude clearly knows how to wrestle.
Nah, man, he was excellent at the psychology of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what to do to get over and to get a crowd over. Was he a terrible fucking, like, technical wrestler? Fuck yeah, he was, man. Did he do, like, just as much damage to the business as he did good for it? Arguable, yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
He certainly did it no favors, like, behind the scenes. But did he know the psychology of it? Shit, yeah, he did.
But then, you know, to throw that other argument in there, Mike, it all depends. You listen to Eric Bischoff, and he says a lot of that crap isn't even that true. And Hogan would question things, but only if it made sense. And usually if it made sense, he was cool with it. Yeah. I don't know, man.
That doesn't work for me, brother.
He's an icon, either way you look at it. And we'd all want Hulkamania to run wild up in our ass, right?
I mean, if you have to fuck one.
Guys, what the hell is wrong with us? I say every
He's bringing the New World Order with him, brother. That's going to be a gangbang.
Oh, it's been real. It's been fun. We'll catch you next time.
You guys are beautiful. We love you. Have a great week.
Hey, yo.
Seriously, though, man, what do you think, like, a New World Order gangbang, how weird would that be? While they're all just standing around waiting for their turn with you, saying their catchphrases and shit. Buffs off to the side, like, flexing and shit, getting oiled up. Kevin Nash is, like, brushing his hair, you know. He gets to go second anyway, so, you know, he's going to be in and out. Scott Hall, he's probably on some kind of drugs, so, you know, that's probably going to, like, affect his performance. He's probably not going to be able to come for a while. That's going to be a rough one. DiBiase after that, I guess. DiBiase's a good Christian man. He's not going to be involved in this in any way. That would leave six next? Sean Waltman knows about fucking on camera. Then you're starting to get into, like, the, like, you know, like, now you gotta fuck Vincent. And, like, no one wants to fuck Vincent. No one has wanted to fuck Vincent since 1972 when he was a high school athlete. I'm done. There's no topping that one. All right, done recording.